We are going to talk about the blessing that we had going on this missions trip. And I just want to start off by just talking a little bit about how this whole thing came about. Okay. Need to fix the stage again. George, you always mess it up for me. Need to be able to see the monitor. First, I'm going to jump back to a month and a half ago. We had our 24 hours of prayer and fasting here at the church over the 13th and 14th, that Saturday, Sunday, starting at noon on Saturday through noon on Sunday. And I was here for that entire time, and it was an awesome time. It was wonderful. We prayed and we fasted. And if you remember, that time I was also, I'm still working on, I'm working on my master's degree and in intercultural relations. And in my class, which is on the principles of world church growth, I'd been asked a question just that week. How or what can your church do to improve its heart for missions? And my response was, well, it can send its pastor on a missions trip. Well, my professor came back on Monday the 15th and said, Bruce, I've got a missions trip for you. It's to Juarez, Mexico, and it's the 11th through the 18th of June. Well, that's the one time slot that I could actually go. The rest of the month was totally shot. There wasn't any way I could go, but that was the only time slot in June that I could go. So I said, wow, okay. However, Sunday the 22nd at 1 a.m., I was leaving with the Hmong pastors for general council. So none of us were going to be here. So I had less than a week to take care of preparations to go. And Don and I, we prayed, and we said, Lord, you know, if you want us to go, you're going to have to provide means. And it seemed that that was such. And so I made the commitment, yeah, we're going to go. And I went to general council, and I'm gone for that week and missed those two Sundays. And I come back on Monday. And the way that we thought the mission trip was going to be paid for, well, didn't happen. It didn't come through. And Don and I were both kind of concerned. And I just said, you know, we'll just trust in the Lord. If He wants us to go, which I believe He does, just take care of it. I walked into my office on Monday morning and I had a card wishing me best of luck on my missions trip with a check in it. I then spoke with somebody else and they had said that they would loan me the money to go, and they said, "No, we're not going to loan you the money. We'll give you $500, and the rest would be a loan." But then, with this gift, I really didn't need it. Then I show up at church here at San Ynez, or actually on Thursday, I went to the I had elders meeting. I'm sorry, before that, and I said, "Well, I want to go." And we had elders meeting, and the elders said, well, you can go. Which was just amazing to do all this in such a short period of time. They also said that I didn't need to take vacation for the one Sunday and the 1 week that I would be gone. The other week and Sunday, I was on vacation, so that would be. But for the week of the missions trip, they said, no, I would be doing it on church business. So that was not, I didn't have to take vacation, though I was willing to do so. They said I didn't have to. So it just all came together. We were able to go. We were gifted with means to pay for our gas. We were gifted with means to pay for our expenses to go. We were blessed with Donna being able to take time off of work without paid time vacation. It turns out that Crown has a program where every 3 years, Donna can take 1 week to go on a missions trip of extra paid vacation. She hadn't done so yet, so they said that she could go. She works at Crown College. It just all came together. We left on the morning of the 10th at 1 a.m. And that was the beginning of our journey. But before we start that, I want to go back to a verse. And, Will, if you could put our verse up on the screen. It's from the Gospel of John. It says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This is the heart of missions. This is the heart of the message that that the Lord has placed on my heart. And through this missions trip, He allowed Donna and I to love our brothers and sisters in Mexico in a way that we never could have without having gone. So let's pray, and then we're going to run you through our trip. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You that we were able to not just speak about love, but to live out love in action. Father, we ask that we can continue to do so, not just with those in Juarez and Tierra Nueva, Mexico, but Lord, also with the people that we meet each and every day, and those whom we get letters about from missionaries far away. Father, might we truly love one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My slideshow. Well, as I said, we left at 1 a.m. when we finally pulled out of Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. Our mileage was at, in a van which we had been loaned, was at 110 miles, was on the trip meter just before we left. When we returned, the trip meter read 5,360 miles. So in the course of our trip, over 2 weeks, which included the trip to Mexico and then a week of our vacation, we put in 5,250 miles, just so you know. You got your turned on? Okay. Okay. Get the light on? I'll take one of these because they're not.
How's that? That's okay. Better. Okay. We didn't drive while we were in Mexico, so that 5,200 miles that we put on the vehicle was going to Colorado Springs, down to Mexico, and back home again with some a few stops in between. And the photograph that you're looking at right now is Pikes Peak in Colorado Springs.
We went to Front Range Alliance Church, and this is the host church that took us. With us, Don and I, it made a group of 19. I thought I edited that one out. You must have put it in.
He's filling the gas tank again.
He did a lot of that. Our crew, and these are the two that rode with us on the way down, Stephen and Penny. And we drove 9 hours from down to El Paso as we loaded up. And we arrived in Mexico.
How about that play with that?
Oh.
He likes his toys.
I'm learning how to use it. It's a learner curve. I'll learn. Mike just got us this, so this is kind of cool. But learning how to use it. We're at the, I don't know if you can read that.
Iglesia.
Iglesia Christiana. Bethel Cristo. So, who speaks Spanish? But basically, it's the Alliance Church in Juarez. This is the mother church here, the one that we stayed at, and was our host church for the entire
time. Juarez. And you'll notice the graffiti on there. That's like that every year. They repaint the church every year because anything to write on paper is kind of scarce. Down in that area, it's very, very poor. And so they write on anything that they can find that's got blank area. And this is a team building activity with the girls' unit. Everybody decided to pile up on Lindsay. And those are four of our girls, or three of our girls from our team, and then the little girl that's standing next to her, Lluvia, which means rain in Spanish, a very unique name. And she kind of hung out with us from 7 in the morning until 9 o'clock at night every day. And the lady in the tan dress is Yuvia's mother, who was one of our cooks. And I don't remember how to say her name. And the lady next to her in pink, I'm not certain how to say her name either. But Doug is standing next to her, who was a missionary to Quito, Ecuador. He worked in the school there.
He worked in Lyons County. He was our main interpreter on our side of the equation. This is our team. The gentleman in the blue shirt is Bob. He's our jefe. Jefe in Spanish means boss. And he's the guy who ran the show and really took care of us. And he's been going down there now for 8 years. This was the eighth year. And this is on Sunday morning.
Bill, the man next to him in the green shirt, just so you have an idea of the sacrifices this man made, he had just had stomach surgery the week before. So quite a trooper. This is a team meeting that we had. And go ahead.
Okay. Sunday morning we had three services. This is actually the second service. I don't believe we have any pictures from the first service. First service was at the home church. It was at 7 a.m. We had church until about quarter to nine. We then grabbed a quick breakfast. And then we piled in the van and went to this church. This church is in Tierra Nueva. It's a 45-minute drive from the church where we were staying. That we had, at each service, we had somebody speaking. I spoke at this service. Here you see a couple of the people, a couple of our kids giving testimonies. The gentleman on the right side of the screen there in the blue is our translator. He did a wonderful job. Here I am preaching. He had to follow me around the platform. I didn't stand in one place. I guess
he was very nervous. Bruce kept walking this way, and so was he. It was like trying to watch what he was doing and saying.
It helped him to see my lips as he was translating, and which made it kind of different because I'm walking over here like this, and he can't see me when I turn my back and want to walk away and talk to one side or the other. They had a kind of a pie-shaped room.
He also was his very first time.
It was his first time translating that day. That's he and his wife and myself.
Fiance.
Oh, fiance?
Anna. Okay. She was one of our translators also.
Yeah. Okay. She's translator in Sunday school. This is at our later service in the evening. Now, that service started at 11 o'clock in Tierra Nueva. Then at 5 o'clock, we started the evening service back in Juarez. I see a couple of the girls there in the blue skirts and white shirts. Those are tambourine dancers. They had choreographed tambourine pieces that they did during the worship set. It was really quite beautiful. And the gentleman on the keyboard was with us all week. He's the pastor of the El Paso Alliance Church for the Spanish Western District. You can see some of the tambourine dance there. Now, here's where we're heading out the first day. They're doing repair of my shoes. As some of you know, I got the one pair of tennis shoes. It's got the hole blown out, toe blown out, and they duct taping it up. And this was our medic. It was with us, Joel. This is the church that we did the work at. And as you look in, you can see inside. If you look inside the door, you can see sky. You go in the door and you see sky. There's no roof over this section of the church. This church had been planted, started 7 years ago building. In 3 years, after 3 years, they had to stop construction as they had been working because the Catholic Church tried to make a land grab for it. Then they took them to court. They had done everything right. They dotted all their I's, crossed all their T's, filed all the paperwork, and they were able to keep the land. But it took them 3 years, and during that time, they stopped all construction. This was the first year we were able to go back and try to finish it up, and we pretty much finished up the enclosing the building anyway this year. Again, looking from the other direction, you can see we've got the main cross beams, but we don't have the other beams and going back and forth.
On the other side of that wall there is the sanctuary, and then to the left is the classrooms.
See some of our kids, and here we're bringing in our tools. Open ceiling. If you can see those rafters there, those beams on that ceiling, just want to point out that the other part was steel, and what we did was steel and was welded in place. This part they had done themselves, and those are wood beams connected, just setting on metal feet, little feet for it to hold the beams in place, and held in place with chicken wire. So it's in Mexico, not a lot of building codes. And our team, the gentleman on the left, far left, is Pastor Tomas. He is the president of the CMA in Mexico. And he is the one who was the senior pastor of the church that we were staying at. And he is the one who has the vision for planting there. He started there 25 years ago and was there. And has since planted 8 churches and a Bible Institute. And they are currently working on starting an orphanage and a church in the Rio Chico Mountains to the Indians. Oh, I can't remember the name of the tribe right now. But the Indians in the mountains there, who they consider to be the poor people. They are not. This is Doug up on the roof. And our Heffy, they're eyeing up, trying to figure out what we're going to be doing for the next week. We're looking at this wall. That wall has to come down. So we're taking out the windows before we knock it down. Getting up, checking out, measuring to see where the posts are. We found out that those brackets that are in that had previously welded in place are in the wrong position for where we need to put our beams, so we had to put new ones in. That door goes into, I'm not sure if it's the pastor's house or if it's just
house.
This pastor's house. His house is part of the church. And that door goes into his house, and all the churches and buildings, somebody has to live in them, otherwise somebody will break in and steal everything from out of it.
This is George.
George
liked to
get his picture taken.
He was very photogenic, or is, I should say. He just happened to be sitting there, and I turned around and I saw him sitting there, and I was like, oh, he's so darn cute. I have to take a picture of him. So I asked him if it was okay, and he said yes. So you'll see him in a lot of pictures, because wherever the camera was, he was also. And that's his brother.
We're taking out the windows, starting the demolishing work, working through.
This is another young man that was, I don't even know his name. I asked several people who he was, and they couldn't tell me either. So he was just kind of hanging out. And so I asked him if I could take his picture again, and he said sure. So
there were several young men from the community who just kind of showed up and helped us work on the church. And some of them didn't even know who they were. People from the church, so it's kind of interesting.
This is Carlita. Carlita became one of my little girls. I called her a Klingon because she clung on to me quite a bit of the time.
Got our window gone, cleaning up, again, figuring out what we're doing upstairs. And they said we're going to cut the wall here at this point, so I'm cutting the wall, just working on starting to cut the wall. We take it. taking it down. They just hit it with an axe until you bust it through.
I think the kids had a lot of fun, too, because they liked to, my camera was too slow a speed, but they were jumping at the walls, trying to knock them down once they'd cut through as far as they could.
We took off the wall to the sanctuary.
This is our wheelbarrow, this box with the blue man on it. We didn't have a wheelbarrow to start with, so the only way we could do it, get the trash out from the wall coming down, was to load it in this box and carry it out 2 to 3 people at a time carrying it.
And taking windows out on the wall to the sanctuary, the roof.
Stephanie is not holding a bottle of mustard, in case you wondered. it was something for the markings.
Lunch. Lunch at the church. This is inside the pastor's house. This is the kitchen in the pastor's house. The pastor's house was 3 rooms. It had a bathroom, a bedroom, and the kitchen.
Well, the bedroom doubled as a living room, too.
Yes.
Kind of one of those multitask rooms.
Now we've got the wall down. Ignore the man pulling up his pants. But we got the walls down, and you can see all the way into the sanctuary and see how open and everything is there. You can see the drop ceiling, which they're going to continue on later.
Just another angle of the sanctuary.
Looking from the other direction. And we started putting our beams up, welding them in place, so we could get the roof up. And here we're putting up our wall. We'd move the wall back a good 20, 25 feet to enlarge the sanctuary. When I was there and I preached that day, they felt that that sanctuary was full. It had well over 200 people in it, and they're looking for more space. So this small church is growing there. A couple of our raft critters. And now Donna, starting with, tell me about your notification about VBS.
I knew that I was going to help out with the crafts for VBS, but it was only supposed to be 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday. Monday afternoon at 3:30, Joshua, the pastor of the El Paso Hispanic Church, came to me and said, Donna, we told the kids on Sunday that we'd have VBS today. And I was like, okay, what time are we doing that? He said, 5 o'clock. And I was like, okay. And what are you doing for a lesson, Joshua? He said, lesson? We didn't do anything.
We had originally thought that the El Paso church was handling the lessons. They weren't coming.
Yes. And we were 48 miles away from our Bibles, our crafts, any of that stuff. So we had to improvise. And God graced us with some very talented youth that helped out with the VBS, and we all brainstormed and decided that we were going to have introductions and then we'd have games for the first night. So some of these slides are of the games that we did, and as the kids came in, they could just add in. We played a lot of Duck Duck Goose. That's what happened to be one of their favorite games. I guess it doesn't matter where you live, and your child, Duck Duck Goose is, or some of us call it Duck Duck Gray Duck. It's universal. Everybody loves that game. And these are a couple of little boys that just happened to be sitting there, and they wanted to join in, but they weren't exactly sure, so I, of course, had to take some pictures. And this is a little prayer powwow, if you will. We got together and just prayed that God would bless this Vacation Bible School. We also improvised because there weren't any materials that would be safe to use, like for a limbo contest. So we went around and collected all the bandanas that were stinky and sweaty and tied them together, and that was our post for the limbo. And the kids loved it. They had so much fun just doing their thing with it. This mother, I wish I could remember how to pronounce her name. She's very special. Every night she would go and grab our translator and want them to tell me something new. And she would hug me and kiss me and tell me she loved me and she didn't want me to leave. So she was a very, very special woman. And you'll see later on, she's got four little children, and that one was the youngest. Again, these are the boys that really like to hang out with us. They were there. School's a little different in Mexico, especially in Juarez, because they only go about half a day, and it was getting towards the end of their school year because average temperature was 115 cool degrees, and it was no humidity, so it was wonderful. Again, some more of the kids that were hanging out. Keep going.
I like that picture. That's Dada hugging one of her kids. Just in case.
Yvonne,
she doesn't like it.
I don't know if you noticed on her left little pinky, she had a little ring. I used to have two toe rings. I kind of like toe rings. They're kind of fun. Something different. Yvonne came up to me the very first day, and she pointed at the toe ring, and she really liked it. So I gave it to her. And the next day, she comes up with this little girl, Carlita, and she gives the ring that I gave her to Carlita, and then she points to the other one. So she got that one too. And it was neat because they have so little. One of the things that I noticed there was they have so little, but they are so rich. And they have so much love, and they're so willing to share. To give you an idea how much, to the extent, if you came to their house and they maybe only had two slices of bread left, and that was the next day's meal, they would make you something to eat with those two slices of bread because they were so generous. And it just really touched my heart that they were so willing to give of themselves. One of the things that we talked about with the was with the Americans, we're viewed as very wealthy. We'll give of our money, but we won't give of our time. And so it spoke volumes to the people in Tierra Nueva that we were there. Not only did we give of our money, but we gave of our time.
This is Tuesday. You can see that they now have some supplies with them. They came prepared and started. Donna and some of the girls, they were doing some preparation work, getting ready for Tuesday's VBS. And you see them, preparation, they're making welcome signs, etc., and just having the paper. This is the first night's class.
The first night's class, Tuesday night. I really didn't know where I was going to go with lessons and things like that, and God just really impressed on me that we needed to share that that there's always consequences in what we do. But if we make a commitment to Christ, that no matter what we say, no matter what we do, no matter what we think, He still loves us, and He will never leave us. And so I just really felt that I needed to share that with the kids. 21 children accepted Christ that night, first-time believers. So that was pretty cool. God getting me.
They like Donna's camera.
I was teaching Carlita how to shoot, take pictures with a digital camera. They love the fact that they could see the picture right away. They thought that was the coolest thing. We're doing a little bit of worship in the beginning. And this was a unique game. We had it played many different ways. We spoke through translators, but what the object was to take a spoon, get the water, and go across to the other side, dump the water in to another bucket. There were very unique ways of doing it. Some of them used the spoon to put the water in their mouth and carry it across and spit it into the other bucket. And some of them used the spoon. There was a winning team. I don't know how they won, though. It was good. And these are just some more of the girls that were there with us all the time. This is Wednesday night.
Wednesday night's class. And now you should talk about what happened on Tuesday night and Wednesday.
Oh. Tuesday night when we got home, it was about, or back to Juarez, we ate dinner, and I really wasn't hungry, and so I didn't eat much, but I became very, very ill Tuesday night. I was hallucinating, I had a high fever, Well, it just wasn't pretty. And so...
And I knew nothing because I'm sleeping in a different room because we had the girls' dorm and the guys' dorm.
I remember Wednesday morning laying there, and everybody had prayed for me. But before that, I was laying there, and I thought, you know, God, if you want to take me now, it's okay, but just do it quick because I can't do this anymore. And one of the little boys, not little, he's 15-year-old that was with our team, came up and said, Donna, please don't die. And he was so serious. And he had no clue as to what I had just been thinking about. And so I joked with him and said, you know, I'm not really planning to today, so we'll see what God has in store. And we kind of chuckled. And so I slept most of the day. It's a kind of a strange thing. Because of the crime in Juarez, you don't leave your buildings unlocked. So I was locked into this building with grates on all the windows and doors and everything. So I thought, as I was laying there, I thought, you know, if there's a fire, this is kind of it, because I'm not getting out of this building. There's no way out. And so, you know, that was a little unnerving, to say the least. But as I was laying there, and I thought, I've got to teach VBS tonight. I don't know what I'm going to teach, because all the memory of what I had planned out was gone. And so I just laid there and I prayed and I asked God, what do you want me to teach on? What do you want me to tell the children? What do you want me to share with them? And he said very clearly to me, you need to give them your testimony. I was like, oh, I can do that. I know that pretty well. And Malachi 4:6 was the verses that I used. The hearts of the father to the children and the children to the father. So as I spoke through a translator to the children, I explained to them about a little girl that was very young when her father left. And as she grew up, she didn't go to church, except for maybe Christmas and Easter. And they really didn't get the C&E Christians, the Christmas and Easter, but through a translator, she was able to explain it to them so they understood. But through that, I explained how my father had left, and we were sitting in church and as a new believer, and our pastor started talking about Malachi 4:6 and how the hearts of the father would be turned to the children and the children to the father. And I thought, you know, God, I know you're my heavenly father, but can't I know my earthly father too? And as we left the church, we were walking into the door and the phone started to ring. So I picked up the phone and I hadn't heard from my father for 25 years. And it was him on the phone. And see, God made it real to me that very moment that he cared about everything. Every intricacy of my life, he cared about. Every detail. And so I shared that with the kids. And I said, you can have that same assurance. And God led another 19 children to Christ that night. These are four of our kids that kind of hung out. You'll recognize a few of them.
The boy in the sticking his head up over the top, he was around all the time. I'm standing up on a scaffold, which was kind of shaky because it was figure Mexican homemade scaffolding held together with chicken wire again. And I'm kind of shaking, and this kid's trying to climb up the scaffolding, and I'm standing there saying, no, stay down. They think it's so great, but he just wanted to be involved. They just wanted to be part of everything. We had some commercial scaffolding, which we rented, but we had some homemade stuff, which we were using, too. This is what we found. We've got the wall up to enclose the sanctuary. We're starting working on the doors, the ceiling. That's our trash pile. All the stuff that we hauled out, just took it outside the door, and there it went. Outside the door of the church, to the right, and dropped it. And I'm assuming that somebody came and hauled it away eventually.
There were a lot of people that were salvaging from the piles, any wire, any wood, anything that they could salvage. And in a few slides ahead, you'll see exactly why.
You can see the piles on the side.
In Tierra Nueva, they own a lot of property for the church, and they've got actually three more buildings that are under construction. For the fourth night, the reason that this is so important is I had the kids walk out from the door 450 feet down to that other building. Then I had them walk 75 feet across, and I explained that four and a half times the height of the church was the size of Noah's Ark. And so it made it real for them to really get a grasp on how large that ark was.
And we've got the wall up, we're getting the sheetrock up, getting taping done. Actually, at this point, I think I'm working on electrical. Here we're working at, these guys are moving the, they had to do some welding, that's the welder that they're working on there. Just want you to see directly in the center there.
Behind the ladder.
Let's see, a pointer. Right there, you see right there. That's the open electrical box. That's hot. The way we turn that on is you take a wire from here, and it runs in here, and you just take it, the end of the wire, and you hook it onto one of the exposed wires inside the box. And that...
And you pray you don't get electrocuted.
That's how you plug it in. That's how you plug in the welder. When they originally started building the church, they didn't even have a box, so the way they did it was they just hung a coat hanger from the power line and then hooked the wire onto that. It went directly to the power line for the power. Again, code isn't exactly something that you see a lot of.
As you can see in this picture, there's wood pallets. And this is directly across from the church. And when I meant they scavenged to build their courtyards. Everything has to be behind some type of a fence because if they don't, they lose it. This is Yvonne again, my little toll ring girl. I asked her where her casa was, her home. And so she took me across from the church. That all those pallets that were building the fence around their courtyard was Yvonne's home. She was very proud of her dog. I would be surprised if her dog's still alive now, but she was not doing well. But she was so proud of the little that she had. It just, by all American standards, your heart just breaks, and you say, "This poor child shouldn't be living like this." But you know, she didn't know she was missing anything. She had the love of Christ in her, and.
The dog was basically blind, and you can see every rib and bone in that thing's body. There's
Bill up on the roof. He's the one who had the surgery the week before we went down there. And mixing mud for the sheetrocking and some more helpers. And Yvonne decided to get into the act, too, and cutting the steel beams.
As I said, they were right with us. I mean, they climbed right up on the scaffolding with us. You know, there's one of the kids holding one of the screw guns while they're up there working. He's there to hand the screw gun to them when they needed it.
This is just above the bathrooms. The bathrooms used to be on the outside of the wall, and now they're contained within the sanctuary.
Bathroom doors. Now, one of the interesting things about the bathroom that people who've been to a lot of different two-thirds world places are familiar with it, but a lot of their septic systems can't handle paper products of any kind, so the toilet paper goes in a waste receptacle next to the toilet. And we were told specifically that if we drop paper in the toilet, you will go in after it, no matter what's in the toilet, because otherwise you will plug up the system, and that's worse than anything you're going to get on your hand. So most of us remembered. There were a few people who forgot. And they had to go fishing. But here I'm working on scaffolding there. What we're doing is redoing the electric for the sanctuary, running a new power line. The whole church was run off a 100 amp system that was run in the church. They had four breakers, and there was only basically one breaker that was running the whole sanctuary, which had two swamp coolers, the heater, the sound system, the outlights. The thing, it was just amazing that the thing worked. We ran a new box back there into the sanctuary and got it set up. And we didn't, obviously weren't able to, in the time that we had, we weren't able to rewire everything, but we were able to set it up so that they could redo wiring and had more breakers and such in the room. We're doing the wall down the hall, so that main big entry area was now divided into three sections. We had the classroom, the hallway, and then another large room, which is later we think will be divided into two rooms, but they're not sure what they're going to do. There was still an area in there that was dirt floor. They were going to do that the following week. Here's our work crew. This is right at the end. We're done. Now, these chairs are strategically placed. That is directly underneath the vent from one of the swamp coolers. And those two guys had been up on the roof all day in the hot sun finishing off the roofing. And they were beat. I had been inside all day working on the electric. So most of the time I was in shade. In fact, when we were working outside, as they're putting the roof over, we'd tell them to, you know, move a piece of sheet metal over here because, you know, we're in the sunlight here. We want some shade. They didn't appreciate that. But they do amazing things with nothing. One of the young men, he made this scorpion out of some scrap electrical wire. He stripped it up, and it took him, how long did it take him?
About 20 minutes. To make that scorpion, and it's all woven. It's not really a good picture. The young man in the white shirt is the one who did that. He was very shy. It took 4 days to get him to convince, or to be able to convince him that he should have his picture taken. And he was so excited when he saw his picture that this is his grandma. So he ran inside, asked me if he could use the camera, and he ran inside and took a picture of his grandma real quick. And so she was just a sweetheart and a joy to be around. And this was our cooks for the week at Tierra Nueva. And there was a few times we took a few breaks and played. These two little girls were just as sweet as could be, very shy. Of course, most of you know my Spanish is not real good, so they were just sweet anyway and allowed me to take their pictures and try to muddle through Spanish. But as you can tell, everybody got involved in doing the crafts for the next day. We're all working on our getting everything ready for the next day's crafts. And this was the last day, Thursday. And I have to tell you about Thursday. It was very exciting during VBS when I gave the invitation to accept Christ. There were four children that accepted Christ that night. So a total of 44 kids throughout the 3 days that we gave invitation. There was one little boy. I wanted to single him out and take a picture, but I knew it wasn't going to work because the light from his eyes was so bright that it would have blinded the camera. It was so awesome. He just shook and grinned from ear to ear, and his eyes just beamed after he accepted Christ. And the translator looked at me and said, "This is why we're here." And that's why we were there, for those 44 children and the others that heard. Again, this is the family that is very special to me, and the mother that came every night and was very encouraging.
Well, the mothers and some of the older siblings might not have participated in the VBS, but they all sat back and they watched and they listened very closely. And many, many of these kids and these people were not members of the church. They weren't church people. At least half the kids weren't from the church, but they were from the neighborhood. So we're praying that they're going to be able to plug them in and minister to them.
The kids really enjoyed the suckers. They thought that was pretty cool.
Saying goodbye.
This photograph, actually, George and Jesus asked if they could have their picture taken with me. And so I said, okay, no problem. And the next thing I know, we had all these kids surrounding us. And this little girl that's standing right next to me dove in between George and I, and she was just excited that she could be in the picture, too. So it was a lot of fun. This is our crew, the 19 of us plus Teo on the far right side. Is one of the uncles that Teo actually means uncle, and he was the one that would drive us around. You did want to wear your seatbelt with Teo, or you could find yourself sitting someplace else. It's a little wild driving.
This other gentleman right here, this is Enrique, also call him Kike. Kike had a thing for my belly. Every time he walked by, I'd go like this. Yeah, mucho grande. But Kike was our was the contractor that was a member of the church, and he worked with us and was directing us and telling us where everything went, and he was really great to work with. He was a wonderful guy, so just wanted to point out Kike to you. Without him, we wouldn't have got much done.
Yuvia, I spoke of her before. Yuvia had quite a bit of personality, and she decided we were all a bunch of fruits, and so she gave us all fruit names. Sasa, I think is how you say cherry. It's not so good, but at any rate, so she had Fresha, and my Spanish, again, is very poor, so. But there was Joel, who was our medic, and I think she had a crush on Joel, because every time she'd see him, she'd go, ah, Fresha. So kind of give you an indication that she liked him. But Friday morning, we were sitting there with her and talking, and I said, Pastor Bruce is really feeling bad. He doesn't have a fruit name, and he's one of the biggest fruits here. And she smiled, and she goes, She looked around, guayaba. guava for...
I look like a guava.
And that happens to be my favorite fruit, but she didn't know that, so I thought that was pretty cool. And then again, these are three of the cooks in Juarez.
Packing up to leave.
Yeah, we were heading out, and we had that packed pretty tight. You can tell the back end is kind of lower than the front, and so we were getting ready to head out. Now, with our vehicles, we didn't drive into Mexico. The only one that did come in was the pickup, and then that was parked inside a courtyard so it would be safe. And otherwise, we rode over in vans. And the three amigos.
Another one of our drivers.
Yep, and another one of our drivers, yes. And some more of the girls and the guys. There were a lot of friendships that were built. As you can tell, we were a little exhausted. One of the things that I want to share with you real quick that I think is very important is Sunday morning, we did church at 7 a.m. I'm not a morning person, but I have to admit it was pretty good. And then we were in Tierra Nueva, 48 miles away at 11 o'clock where Bruce spoke. After he was done speaking, the pastor came up and he shared with the congregation that there was no way that we would know exactly what had been spoken on during Sunday school. Now, all you guys I know the definition pretty well of love. You want to say it?
Selfless, loyal, benevolent concern. Come on, say it with me. Selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. You know, no one, I'll have to preach on that next week.
Say it quick. That was what Bruce spoke on. And so there was no way that he knew what had been taught in Sunday school. And it was love and respect. And then I promised Bruce that I would never get upset with him again. And this is maybe, some of you are thinking this right now. We've been going for a little while. And I promised Bruce that I would never get upset with him again when he ran long. At the 5 o'clock service, an hour and a half into the service, the pastor that was speaking said, point one. He had 10 points. For 3.5 hours, we sat there. It was awesome. But I realized at that point, it's not the length of time. It's what God's doing. And he moved. Oh, his message was on love and respect and relationships. Marriage. So, God had the day all planned out before us, before we even got there. And the fact that we were able to be a part of it was just awesome. God truly blessed us. And I don't think that I will ever look at things the same way again. Or the things that I thought were important are really, they aren't as important as I thought they were. So God really has changed my life, and hopefully we made an impact for him in Tierra Nueva and also in Juarez.
We were asked to come back again next year. Donna, because they wanted her to run the VBS, they said that they'd never seen a VBS that went so well, and the people in Tierra Nueva had never experienced anything like it, and they really enjoyed it. And they'd asked if both of us would come back next year and possibly bring more. I would encourage you to pray right now to consider going to Tierra Nueva or Juarez or wherever it is the Lord takes us in particular to work next year, to go. Maybe he'll take you someplace else on a short-term missions trip, but I would encourage you to go. We're going to go, Lord willing, if he provides for us to go again next year, and we'd love to take some of you with us and others. It has indeed impacted our lives. I believe I can speak with more passion and a deeper knowledge about missions now than I could previously. And I know it has deeply, deeply affected Donna. She had the distinct privilege of being part of leading 44 kids to Christ. That's why we went.
I never was prepared for the emotions that I would go through when it was leaving. It was like, okay, yeah, all right, I'm getting to go. We're heading on to our next leg of the trip, and we're going to see our son graduate from his military training and go to the Grand Canyon and some of that fun stuff too. But I never anticipated the emotions that went through me, and saying goodbye to these children, and coming up and hugging me, and going and grabbing the interpreter, and they would explain what it is they wanted to say. But I wasn't ready for the emotions, and it was a very short period of time, but I knew that they had definitely had touched my life, and hopefully I touched theirs. And so there were a lot of tears, a lot of laughter, a lot of hugging going on, but I wouldn't have traded it for the world.
Yep. Well, thank you. I think we're going to segue now, transition over to communion. Why did we go on the missions trip? To bring the message of Christ's love to other people, to do it several ways. Through the ministry of presence, through the ministry of the Word, through the ministry of works. But all of it was about talking about what the communion table represents, that Christ died for our sins and for their sins, for everyone's sins, so that we could have relationship with Him. That's what it's about. That's why we went, because of Christ's love for us, because of the Father's love to send the Son for us. That's why we went, to live that love out for them. I'm trying to think, we're short on elders this week. Butch, Ross, I'm going to ask you to come help serve communion this morning. Leland, I'm going to ask you to play piano. Normally Ross would play organ. And Mike, we'll just go with three.